Tonight, by opening up the Word of God for just a little bit, I just have some kind of quick thoughts I wanted to bring to you. You've probably heard these at one time or another, maybe just lost track of them, but we come to a time frame now where, you know, we go into what people consider the holiday season. Thanksgiving kind of starts that, I suppose. Let's open up to 1 Timothy for beginners, chapter 4. And let me just give you some thoughts here on Thanksgiving. One thing that's sure is that the world doesn't do it justice. And I wanted to read you, first of all, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and go on down. We'll start reading with verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, once again, I ask for you to honor just a few minutes here as we bring a little bit of a devotion type scenario to our service tonight. Normally a Bible study, sometimes preaching, but just a few minutes here, and then pray you might bless us. Folks might have a few words to say publicly about thanking you for some things, but we pray you might help us contemplate these things, because as I said, the world doesn't get this. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you notice there, I'm sure, verse 3 and 4 both contain the word thanksgiving. And so, you know, this is a tongue-in-cheek, of course, but I think that Thanksgiving is truly a Baptist holiday. Because if there's one thing that we do, is we eat. And it says there in this passage twice that there are meats that God created to be received with thanksgiving. Of course, the Jews had their dietary restrictions in the Old Testament and those sort of things, but we now have the latitude and liberty to eat all kinds of things that they couldn't. And just kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, I'm really glad for this passage, because I can eat whatever is put on the table tomorrow. There'll be some pig there and a little bit of everything, so praise the Lord. But the world tries hard to magnify Thanksgiving and keep it on some sort of exalted, you know, scale. They recognize, of course, that we have some of our joy with Thanksgiving as Americans is a national type, the national roots of it. It's also, I think, a part with the world bad conscience, because they know full well that they've been blessed fully and wholly, and yet I'm not sure that they get who blessed them. They list things out, and when they give their testimonies of their lists of things that they're thankful for, fact of the matter is, many of them have not thought about that since this time last year. The other thing that comes to mind is to say that often you find folks that are trying to elevate Thanksgiving and trying to kind of sanctify in a worldly sort of secular way, you know, this special holiday of thanks and gratitude, and yet they have no real object of their gratitude. Often it's an atheist or an agnostic or a secular humanist that's talking about Thanksgiving. Well, if you don't have anybody to give thanks to, then what's the point? If there's not a God, if there's not a God who provides, who blesses, who gives, then why bother with it at all? And so I believe a lot of this for the world is a guilty conscience. In general, where they give general thanks and gratitude to God, many times they recognize God, but they don't recognize the truth of Jesus Christ. And so they're really no better than the devils, because the devils believe and tremble in God. And so I just wanted to bring to you here tonight for a few minutes a reminder. One thing the world reminds me of in this matter is that it reveals that it has no biblical understanding of the indispensability of Thanksgiving. I bet that in the main, most evangelical Christians couldn't tell you what Thanksgiving has wrought in the Christian life or in the Bible. So let me just bring some things in brief to your attention. There are several, but it won't take long. First of all, I've joked a little bit about 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3 and 4 were forbidding to marry these folks in the last days, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Well, there's nothing more common, I suppose, except for breathing, than eating. Most folks generally eat every day and enjoy it, most likely. If you have taste buds that work and so on, and you eat food you like, then you probably enjoy it. Says there that meat is created by God to be received with thanksgiving. Then in verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. I just want to say that what is basically stated there is that thanksgiving sanctifies the fact that you sit down to eat a meal. Some folks three times a day. Some folks not that many. Some folks more. Okay? And all I want to say is that I want to say that Thanksgiving, the things that Thanksgiving affects, it sanctifies the routine. There is nothing more routine than sitting down for a breakfast, lunch, and or dinner. And what the Bible says is true, then every time you sit down to eat, you should be able to give God thanks for what He's given you. If that's true, then it means that one of the most common things that every people does, no matter what culture, no matter what kind of food, that Thanksgiving sanctifies the absolutely routine. And I dare say that a lot of folks probably don't even pray at all. Many cultures wouldn't know to pray. If they do pray, they don't pray to the right God. They don't recognize the giver and the blesser. But I just say that it sanctifies the routine. You should think about that, because that matter is not just eating. For us, all ground is holy ground. We're Bible believers. We know Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we walk or talk or converse or do something fun or whatever, we have the ability to ask God to bless it and thank Him for the opportunity of it. How long has it been since you thanked God for the little bit of extra money you get to spend on a Coke or a coffee or whatever? I just want to say that this matter of Thanksgiving sanctifies the absolutely routine, the mundane, things you do every day. Thanksgiving sanctifies those things. Let me just say further, look in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Now, I know the world doesn't know about these because the world doesn't even recognize what Romans 1 says. Romans chapter 1. I'm preaching tonight on things that Thanksgiving affects, or what Thanksgiving hath wrought. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. The book says that even the heathen know critical things that would lead them to the right path. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and then you note, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Okay, now you know that this passage represents mankind, both mankind and an individual man's slide down into sin, down into depravity, right? If you take these exits on the highway to life, you wind up in a bad, bad bog, a bad, bad swamp, and a bad, bad spot. And starting with glorifying God, not as God, when you should know better by nature, by conscience, and when you're not grateful by nature, by conscience, knowing that God, that there's a supplier to all the blessings in this life, then you see how this slide goes, and we've been through this so many times, but professing themselves, to be wise, they became fools in verse 22, changed the glory. Wherefore, verse 24, importantly, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Goes on down in verse 26, God gave them up to vile affections. And once again, while they changed things that were against nature. And again, ladies and gentlemen, there's no other book in the world that tells you where the homosexual passions come from. Nobody has an answer for where the perverseness, the vileness of what's going on in a first world country, one of the leading countries in the world, has long been the leading country in the world in so many ways, how that has crept in. We know how it's crept in because Romans 1 says it plainly. So in the end, you know the final step, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain in God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That all began by not glorifying God as God and not being thankful. And so you can see that not being thankful is a very damaging thing to a generation of folks who, generally speaking, aren't very thankful. But I can say this, Thanksgiving counters the skid into sin and depravity. Thanksgiving doesn't save a man. Faith in Jesus Christ saves a man. But that man preserves some of his capabilities by not going so far into sin that the sin captures him. And part of the way he stays out of that skid is to glorify God for simple things that God has done and being thankful. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's indispensable. Where would you be if you didn't at least recognize that God's been good to you? Where could you still be? I mean, you can still, as a Christian, slide pretty far down the slope. And so I just say that one of the indispensable things, one of the things that Thanksgiving affects, is it counters the skid into sin and depravity. For all these years, America has still been the world, okay? We recognize that. We recognize there were wicked men all the way back in 1750. But at the same time, there was at least an acknowledgement of some of the things of God and some of the blessings of God and the reality in the main that there was a God. And I have to believe that in spite of some black marks on the character of America through the centuries here, that one of the things that has preserved us as a nation in blessedness to this point is the fact that we at least, as a people, acknowledged that there was a God of some sort, not saved, but of some sort or other, and that folks at some level were grateful and thankful. And where folks lose that gratitude, they promise to themselves a slide, a decline into depravity and sin. And so, thankfulness is a great work. It does a great, it brings about a great work. It stops a slide. Let me show you something else. We're back over to 1 Timothy for just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It sanctifies the routine. It counters the skid to sin and depravity. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and notice verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Okay, it says there that we're to give thanks, not for our favorite men, but for all men. Now, everybody here knows, because it's preached here and acknowledged here, just how far the slide has gone. Anybody that has a wit of common sense and has a little bit of a antenna up checking things out in the world knows how far America's leadership, the political landscape, has slidden in the last few years. You know, you go back 10 years and things really were different, right? So it's kind of a despairing thing. We know that the Spirit speaketh expressly that the evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We knew for a long time we're headed into truly perilous times. These are the last days, the latter days, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon. But there's one thing that in verse 1 it says, we're among other things to give thanks for all men. And so I just want to say on that line that I don't know who you love and who you hate. I have a pretty good idea about some of you, but I don't know about others. And if we're talking about the president or the vice president or the Senate or the Congress or whatever's the case, whoever it is that you might hate that has been in power or is in power, and no matter how wretched you think they are and how wrong they might be, one thing that thanks does, according to this passage, I believe, is it balances the despair of secular decline. Most of us would say, America's going to hell in a handbasket. And it's true. Now, I represent probably a certain political position along those lines, and most of you probably agree. Even if you don't, even if you hate the guy I like and like the guy I hate, I speak as a Christian. I can at least say this. You know, it'd be easy to go off into despair. You look at who's running what these days, and my goodness gracious, I mean, a coon would do better than that, a raccoon. There are animals that apparently would be able to run things better than it's being run now. Since when did we lose our minds? But at the same time, as bad as it is, it balances the despair of secular decline. Whatever else is the case, however bad it gets, whoever's in office that's despicable, deplorable, awful, ugh, no matter how it gets. I know somebody's still on the throne. His name is God. And I know that all of his promises are true. And the balance comes where I'm willing to still acknowledge that the guy that I despise in government has really not affected my life much. Okay, gas prices are higher. I know. The guy's an idiot. I know that. But as far as my prayer life, my eternal blessings, what I do on a day-to-day basis, maybe there will come a day we can't afford gas or we can't afford to get on an airplane, okay? It's not here yet, but whatever's the case, this helps to balance the despair. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. I don't think it's going to get better. I don't know when we change political parties or political objectives, but I don't know that it gets better. Right? Okay, if it's not going to get better, then that's kind of a despairing thing. But gratitude for what you do have and gratitude for what God is doing in your life, the fact that you still have the right to pray and witness and, you know, God is still blessing you right and left, should balance the despair of secular decline. Let me move quickly on here. Look in 2 Chronicles 5 real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It sanctifies the routine. Thanksgiving does. It counters the skid to sin and depravity. It balances the despair of secular decline. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, you have Solomon having built the temple. He is now dedicating that temple. And so in verse 13, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Well, it said that that came about after the trumpeters and singers were heard in praising and thanking God. I'd like to say that Thanksgiving prepares the way spiritually for the glory of God. Okay? When those singers and trumpeters and players on various instruments of music lit it up and played for a while, it wasn't long before descending in a cloud was the glory of God. So much so the priests had to leave. They couldn't continue their sanctified position there for a little while because the glory of God was so real and so present they had to leave. They had to move. The smoke filled the house. And I know you're not likely to see or experience that exactly as they did, but you've been here before when the singing got pretty good. And, you know, by the time it's over, you know, you feel like you've been drained because it was so good. Say, well, what is that? Well, that's a little bit of the glory of God that you've already had a chance to experience. I just want to say that it prepares the way spiritually for the glory of God. Not just singing, not just music, but thanking and praising God. Now, last time I checked, we are being prepared one day for glory. Well, you're thwarting the process when you're not grateful. You know, one day we hear a trumpet sound and bam, we get out of here and whoo, going out. But I have a feeling it won't be as good as if you had been genuinely grateful in recognition for all the things that God has done for you, the privilege that you have. We gripe about the last days, the privilege of living in the last days, the privilege of seeing these times. You say it's the privilege of seeing things fall apart? Yeah, the privilege of seeing things fall apart. I mean, it's evident before your eyes that what the Lord says is true. Now, I just want to say that it prepares the way spiritually for the glory of God. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You've never heard when a talk show radio host gets on the day before Thanksgiving or whatever, is appealing to the world listeners to tell him what they're grateful for, and give him their list, and he gives them his list and all that stuff. These kind of things are never mentioned. They're thankful for their health, or their mother, or their father, or their wife, or their children. All those things are noble enough. I don't deny that, but I simply say that they're not making a spiritual list like this. I'm telling you that they don't understand. A lot of times they're not even grateful to the God of heaven, much less the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As often as not, they're simply doing what they're supposed to do. They know it's the season to be thankful. And so they make up a list. It's not sanctified. It's not like what you have. And it's not like what the Bible presents. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go on down. You know this very well. Let me read a few verses. Verse 15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good." I'd like to say back in verse 18, it says, give thanks, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's it talking about? Well, in all these things that they're being instructed to do, do it gratefully, because that's the will of God, but also the things the Thessalonians are going through, tribulation-wise, trouble-wise, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'd like to just say, it anchors the saint in the will of God. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What you're doing here that I'm telling you to do, what you obey, do that in thanksgiving. That's the will of God for you. But also the things, the greater things surrounding you, the trouble, the tribulation, the trials you're going through, those things, if you are grateful for them, those things are, that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You're supposed to be going through tribulation. You live in a world that's filled with tribulation. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to be thankful even when you go through something, because that anchors the saint in the will of God. If you can just recognize this is God's will. You say, I'm sick, I'm hurting. Okay, it's not pleasant. And I don't want to bring the devil down on my head or the Lord, either one. But God either allowed it or He didn't. If He allowed it, then it is the will of God. And so at least you're in the will of God. And if you can give thanks, like Paul gave thanks for his blindness, his trouble, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and for the grace that was needed to get him through it, you'll be the better man for it. It anchors the saint. It anchors them in the will of God. You're not just trying to get out. You're grateful that God is doing something in your life. It's not pleasant. It's not enjoyable. Maybe you're getting a whipping, but at least it's God that's doing it, not the devil. It anchors the saint in the will of God. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. In verse 15, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Now it called in verse 16 all the things in the two verses sacrifices. And so offering the sacrifice of praise, verse 15, is a sacrifice. And giving thanks to His name is a sacrifice. And doing good is a sacrifice. And communicating is a sacrifice. Right? We're called to offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Okay? But if you can give thanks, it embodies the sacrifice pleasing to God. Whatever it is you're going through, if you can thank God for it, it embodies the sacrifice that God is pleased with. You going through it and griping and complaining and virtually shaking your fist at the sky is not something God's pleased with. But as tough as it is, as bad as you hurt, as sick as you are, whatever wounds have been implemented, and however painful they are, if you can say, I thank God that I'm not going through this alone. I thank God that His hand is manifest. And I just want to thank You, Lord, for holding me up and giving me the grace to go through this. I just want to say, that sacrifice is pleasing to God. The world knows nothing about that. For the part of the world which doesn't even believe in God, and when they get sick, it's just total despair. When they get a cancer a diagnosis, it's total despair. When they go through the divorce or the bankruptcy, it's total despair. What must that be like? And the fact is, none of us should ever be in that position. Not that any of those things can't happen to us, but if they're allowed to come into our lives, then the gatekeeper is you know who. And so you can at least say, well, Lord, I thank You for entrusting me with this very unpleasant circumstance. Right? And it says that when you do that, that sacrifice is well-pleasing to God. It sanctifies the routine. It counters the skid to sin and depravity. It balances the despair of secular decline. It prepares the way spiritually for the glory of God. It anchors the saint in the will of God. It embodies the sacrifice pleasing to God. Look in Philippians chapter 4. You can quote it. Philippians chapter 4. And I'll be done here real briefly. You know the promise. You know the admonition. 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It ushers into the soul the peace of God. Now, be careful for nothing. It's a blank statement. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And that promise says that when you, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It ushers into the soul the peace of God. To be able to thank God for what you have, as pleasant as it might be, and as enjoyable as anything you've ever enjoyed. At the same time, there will come other things that are not enjoyable. But to be able to thank God for those things ushers into the soul the peace of God. He says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. Don't we need kept hearts these days? Of all the hearts that get commandeered and, man, they are hijacked out into the world. But that shall keep your hearts and minds. Don't you have a concern as you grow a little older that you hope you might be one to keep your mind intact? Because you're really not that much in control of it. But you have a promise here to cling to, right? That if you will go forward with thanksgiving and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, that you will get something back that is priceless. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. I got one more and then I'm done, all right? Look in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Did I say this was just a devotion? Sorry. I didn't have hardly any notes here, so I thought I was going to be real fast, but Revelation chapter 4, and you recognize the chapter, you recognize the scene in heaven. It says down in verse 9, talking about these four beasts in verse 8 with six wings. These are going to be seraphim. They're full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." Right? Go on over to chapter 7, verse 12, real quickly. There you have a scene where even the seraphim are thanking God. In chapter 7, verse 12, "You now come upon a vast multitude that comes out of the tribulation saved. And among the things they say," the great multitude is found in verse 9, "of all kindreds and nations and people and tongues," verse 12, "saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And finally, Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And you can see at this point that the seventh angel sounds the seventh trumpet. And there are great voices in heaven. Verse 15. "Kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned." Okay, so three times there in heaven, all of the created heavenly hosts are singing praise and thanksgiving to God. A redeemed host from the earth, from the tribulation, comes out and they give thanks to God over and over again. Okay, I just want to say, as hard as it is sometimes here maybe to be thankful under circumstances, if you are, it anticipates the spirit of home. Because this ain't home. Yeah, you can spend your life griping and carrying on about old Joe and Kamala and whoever else you don't like. Maybe it's Trump, for all that matter. And you can spend the rest of your life here, you know, finding things wrong and all that kind of stuff. But with a little glory in your soul, you ought to be able to be grateful for a God that's letting you experience these things, knowing when you praise Him that you are anticipating being home one day where all we hear is thanksgiving and praise to God. That is the atmosphere of home. Those seraphims holler day and night, "Glory to God in the highest," so on and so forth, right? "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." I mean, it goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. It's going to be a wild place. And the key to that wild place will be praise and thanksgiving. That is the atmosphere, not just of heaven, but of home. Because that's home. So that's what thanksgiving affects. And it's not the same as making a required list where you're thankful for your cat and thankful for your economy apartment and, you know, grateful to God that I got my hot water heater fixed last week. It's not, doesn't quite capture the nobility of true gratitude. Of all people in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, we ought to be able to have that. All right.